are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
We continue speaking about PTSD, and we know now that this may be a part of someone's story, but it doesn't necessarily have to define their future, right? And so today we're going to be sharing some powerful stories of resilience and recovery, proving that healing is actually possible. Perlene Coughlin joins us from the Vista Clinic. Perlene, it's been a while. Good morning and welcome back to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning, Bongi, and good morning to all our listeners. What an awesome pleasure to be back with you again.
Thank you so much for making time. It's good to hear your voice again.
Yes, same year, Bongi.
All right, so we're talking about a different subject from what we previously knew you for. You were here speaking to us about anxiety last month, but today we're talking about PTSD.
Yeah.
And we're talking about some success stories. What are some inspiring stories of people overcoming PTSD?
You know, Bongi, there's so many, and I thought I'll take us almost, I want to say, a trip through history. And I think, you know, I mentioned one or two things are very general until I get to more particular things. So, you know, one of the biggest events in which I thought of that, you know, so many people were affected and more recent in history, like I'm sharing, has to be the one, you know, the 911 attack on the American Twin Towers in New York, where so many people experience severe trauma that day. And, you know, if you go onto the internet, there's so many stories of how people actually survived not only that day's experience, but also through the trauma that they experienced on the day by losing loved ones, and also just watching, you know, how other people lose their lives and people that were involved in that whole event over there. And if you think about COVID, and so many of us suffered through COVID, you know, Bongi, by losing people close to us. And many people really struggled afterwards as well. You know, we know that people also had to witness death, and sometimes in severe situations where they had to leave loved ones. And, you know, that also created a lot of elements around PTSD. And but many people also live to tell the tale, and who has now survived. And we look back and we speak about, you know, how we struggled through COVID and also came through on the other side. And then something which we don't always think about, but in South Africa, load shedding, for example, you know, when the lights go off, it's not just the lights go off. There's some interesting research that's been done at the moment by various organizations in the country looking at the impact of load shedding on individuals, and especially what happens when the lights go off.
Okay.
So it's not just sitting in the dark, but, you know, many people lose business, they lose an income, they lose family members. You know, some people experience some very daunting things when the lights go off in terms of crime, and that leaves them with severe scars related to PTSD as well. And Bongi, there's a very powerful story about a young lady, and she eloquently speaks about this very publicly. She actually goes around doing talks and so on, and her name is Alison Botha. I'm not sure if you or our listeners have ever heard of her, but on December 18 in 1994, she was, you know, she was kidnapped by two men that she didn't know in a parking lot close to her apartment. Yeah. And she, you know, they drove off with her into a remote field, and she was sexually assaulted and stabbed dozens of times. And she was also nearly decapitated, and they actually left her for dead. But Alison miraculously crept to the side of the road where she managed to pull over a car, who took her to hospital. There she was treated. And afterwards, she actually could, you know, she could actually identify her attackers, and they were apprehended and arrested. So, you know, that was, it's an awesome story, and she shares it to also inspire other people who go through similar experiences, you know, and was really, if you think about it, you face death and you actually come out on the other side and you live to tell the tale. That really speaks of surviving, and a very inspiring story of hers. And then just here on a daily basis at Vista Clinic, you know, we treat people who have suffered severe trauma, and they come for help, and that already shows resilience and the will to continue living regardless of what they go through. It's not always immediate recovery, but there's many people who also struggle with PTSD, and we work with them on a daily basis.
Sure, that's powerful. That's some of the things that people go through. It's not even unthinkable.
It is
to the power of the human spirit. But what would you say is the role of resilience? What role does resilience play in PTSD recovery? Because I think when we think about this, sometimes it's like that means you have to be strong. And if you struggle with PTSD, that means you must be weak. There must be something wrong with you. Well, how do we look at the role of resilience in the context of PTSD recovery?
Yeah, you know, resilience, Bongi, plays a very critical role in the recovery from PTSD. And we find, you know, that coping mechanism. So it helps individuals to manage those intense emotions and stress that comes with PTSD. And it also helps them to face trauma-related memories and triggers without becoming overwhelmed.
Okay.
So when we are resilient, we are able to look at it differently. We are able to look at the experience differently. It also helps us to grow and to adapt. And to almost gain a positive attitude towards what has happened. We call it post-traumatic growth, you know, where they find new meaning or strength as a result of what they've been through.
Okay.
And resilience can also serve as a motivation for healing. You know, it can motivate people to find therapy, to look for treatment instead of avoiding it. And, you know, many people turn to substance abuse, for example, where they start using stuff to almost make them forget what we know about the brain, which is very powerful. So instead of avoiding it, if we have resilience, we'll find more constructive ways to deal with what has happened.
Mm.
And also resilience helps people to seek support because now we know, you know, so... you know, individuals with high resilience, sometimes they are more likely to reach out for social support. And this can serve as a major protective factor when it comes to dealing with PTSD and also the recovery thereof. Another thing is that, you know, with resilience, people become more cognitively flexible.
Mm-hmm.
Where resilience enhances the ability to reframe negative thoughts and the beliefs around trauma. So it makes therapy much more powerful or effective when they're able to understand that I'm busy working with the way I'm looking at something, and therefore if I reframe my thinking, it can be a powerful way to also deal and cope with what has happened.
Mm-hmm.
So resilience doesn't prevent PTSD, but it definitely can reduce the severity and also the duration of the experience, and significantly also, Bongi, improve the recovery outcomes. So it can build and also, you know, help people to be strengthened again. So through therapy, supportive relationships, mindfulness, and also just encourage self-care with individuals who've gone through PTSD. And that is what resilience can do.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, how do people find hope after years of struggling with PTSD?
You know, Bongi, if they connect with other people, so, you know, building supportive relationships can be a very, very powerful way, whether it be through therapy, friendships, family, or even support groups.
Mm-hmm.
That can be a lifeline. Just knowing that you're not alone, that can be very powerful. And with that being said, you know, therapy and healing work become so important. There's different types of therapy that deal specifically with PTSD, which is very directed, and also just understanding and naming the pain, and sometimes just understanding why we feel the way we do.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us a sense of hope and a sense of control, and also just the idea, you know, that healing is possible. Creative expression, Bongi, you know, when people engage in art and music, writing, or just movement, those can help some people who process trauma in ways that words can't.
Okay.
And it's often a very, very powerful way to inspire hope with people. Oftentimes we find that people are not able to use the words or the feelings that they experience while going through the processing of trauma. So, you know, there's different types of art, for example, or music that helps with this, related to therapy, that can also help people. And other people get involved in organizations where they help other people,
mm-hmm.
or they become involved in advocacy where they also just know, you know, if I do this, it gives me a sense of purpose and meaning every day. And, you know, when we do this, we tend to rewrite the narrative. So over time, people begin to see themselves not only as victims, but really as survivors. And that shift in identity can speak such deep hope in many people.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Okay. And then when we look at PTSD survivors, what lessons would you say we can learn from them as they've gone through this, as they've come out on the other side and they've won over this thing? What lessons can they teach us?
You know, Bongi, that's a very powerful question, and it's one that many people wrestle with, they struggle with when trying to make sense of their pain. And while PTSD is deeply painful and unjust, you know, those who live through it can often come away with very hard-won insights. And, you know, they realize, and we can also learn from that, that the mind-body connection is very deep. And trauma doesn't live in the memories, which we often tend to think.
Yeah.
It actually lives in the body. And just learning how trauma affects the nervous system teaches us already how important it is to listen to our bodies and to be gentle with ourselves, and also just to apply more self-care, you know, to learn to love ourselves. And survival is strength. Even when it doesn't feel like it, living through trauma, you know, can be an immense sign of resilience. And PTSD teaches that surviving itself is a form of strength. And that's also how we look at resilience at the end of the day, you know. And healing isn't linear. That is also one thing that we can learn. So recovery comes in waves. And when you speak to people who have gone through something traumatic and they live with PTSD, you'll find that there are days which are good, but there are also days where it seems like everything is just a setback. And that's very normal. So PTSD teaches us patience and even persistence. And sometimes we say, but we can't see it, or I don't feel it, but the progress is there, even though it may seem very slow. Also, something that we learn is boundaries. Boundaries are very essential. You know, trauma often teaches people to pay close attention to how they feel safe and where they feel safe. And to learn also that it's okay to say no, because this can be very, very life-changing when it comes to learning, you know, what can, how can we learn, or what can we learn from surviving PTSD. Others, again, build compassion. Compassion is a very big one. If I become deeply empathic to the pain of others, people understand. And there's almost this quiet and intense kind of compassion that people experience, not only for ourselves when we've lived with PTSD or going through it, but or trauma, but also for the others who walk that very hard path.
All right. And so as we're closing now, how can sharing one's story help others on their own healing journey?
You know, Bongi, sharing your story can be a very, very powerful act, and not just for our own healing, but also for others, in ways that we break the silence, because trauma thrives in secrecy. And when someone shares their story, it helps others to feel less alone, and it gives permission to others to speak up and seek help. Oftentimes, people feel very vulnerable, you know, and they feel that, you know, what I've gone through is making me feel shameful. But that normalizes the struggle. And just hearing that someone else has felt that they're feeling, if there was panic and shame and confusion, for example, it can be incredibly validating. And it also shows that, you know, what I'm going through isn't crazy or wrong. And therefore, it helps people to break the silence around what people have been going through. Also, it inspires hope. So even if your story is still unfolding, the fact that you're talking about it shows strength. And, you know, for many people who hear it will realize, well, healing is possible. You know, it's not something that it doesn't happen overnight, of course. It's a journey, but it's not impossible. And when we speak about it, you'll find that sometimes it serves as a roadmap for others. Oftentimes people don't know what to do. So then I hear from someone, oh, you know, I've gone to therapy, or I've joined the support group, or I've spoken to this person and they've guided and helped me. So it also just gives people a way to almost deal with it on a daily basis. What have you done that I can also take from it to help me get through this very difficult journey? And and once again, storytelling fosters community. We know that. You know, it helps people feel seen and heard, and also that they're less isolated in their pain. I have people who have an understanding of what I'm going through, while it also definitely encourages vulnerability and strength. So being vulnerable enough to share your truth, that also shows others, Bongi, that their strength doesn't mean I'm hiding my pain. It just simply means facing it and speaking it out loud, so that there are various ways that I can also help other people.
I love that. And then how do we guard against this thing that I think we tend to do, where we measure our pain against the next person, or our experience against the next person's experience? So earlier on, you were talking about this person who endured this horrific attack that left her that left her for dead. And then on the other hand, you have other people who will experience something which in our eyes is like, oh, that's not that big of a deal. Maybe you lost a loved one, but people die every day. Everyone is
losing
a loved one. What's the big deal with that? How do we avoid that? Because I think sometimes people don't want to share their story because they feel like you all understand it. You'll minimize it. You'll think it's something small because everyone experiences. How do we do that?
Yes. You know, Bongi, it's very important that when we go through experiences in life, it's not to compare ourselves to other people. Mm-hmm. It's almost like it's not a competition. What we experience in life is not a competition. Yeah. And what you go through in your experience may be a compliment to my experience in the sense that I can gain hope. I can realize, you know, that I'm not alone. Although it may not seem as intense in mine, it doesn't make yours better than mine. Because why is that each and every one of us are unique. And this is the most powerful thing we need to realize. So we cannot compare ourselves to other people. And the impact of what we go through is also not the same.
Yes.
So it's very important that we don't look at ourselves in the mirror and say, mine is not important. Whatever we go through and the impact it has on us as individuals, that is very, very important. We are unique human beings in every sense of the way.
I love that. I love that. Thank you so much, Praline, for that beautiful lesson once again. And hopefully we'll be connecting again soon for another conversation. Have a wonderful weekend.
Absolutely. Thanks, Bongi. The same to you and to all our listeners as well.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.